So we got hold of Dr. Kerrigan McCarthy, who is a controlling pathologist in the Division of Public Health Surveillance Response at the National Institute of Communicable Diseases, and she joins us right now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
Thank you very, very much for the time. Dr. McCarthy, is South Africa prepared for such a, for such an event? I mean, what would we do in such an event?
Yeah, thanks for your question. South Africa has been preparing for imported cases of many different kinds of pathogens over the last 5 to 10 years, including Ebola virus, the plague in Madagascar. We have a whole structure within our health departments, both provincially and nationally, to support the frontline staff in early diagnosis, containment and management and treatment of imported infections.
That's quite amazing. I actually hadn't thought of that. I mean, had you thought of that, Simon? That because South Africa, we are in quite close proximity where there's always some kind of outbreak of Ebola or dengue fever or one of these fevers, that we have to have these measures in place all the time. I'd never considered that. Is that what you're saying?
So there's a global trend after the West African Ebola outbreak to have these things called emergency operations centers, EOCs. And the emergency operations centers usually use what's called an incident management structure to deal with outbreaks of these kinds. So an incident management structure is essentially an organogram, a hierarchical model where the different components of outbreak preparedness and response are allocated to different people. So for example, every outbreak has to have epidemiologists and surveillance officers who are going to develop case definitions and distribute them to frontline healthcare workers so that people know who to be on the lookout for. And then once you've diagnosed cases, every outbreak needs guidance on how to treat cases and how to prevent infection from spreading. And then every outbreak invariably has some kind of component with environmental health or port health. So for example, screening returning travelers. And then every outbreak has a component of diagnostics, laboratory diagnostics, to support early case detection. And then every outbreak usually requires some kind of intervention, so either there's treatment or there's vaccination. And then, of course, all of these things require human resources and money and organizational components, so there's always an administrative component. So what we did, the World Health Organization announced that this was a public health emergency of international concern at the end of January. So we had already met as a country with our multi-sectoral outbreak response team on the 24th of January to discuss the developments in China and what the implications were for ourselves. And this multi-sectoral national outbreak response team has representation from across government, from across the private sector, from military, from civil aviation authorities, and we meet usually monthly anyway. So there was nothing new about this meeting other than that we have a new outbreak on our hands and we have to better understand the parameters of this outbreak, what it looks like from an epidemiological perspective, how it presents clinically, and what the implications are for us. So when our Minister of Health announced on the 31st of January that South Africa was declaring a public health emergency, we activated our incident management system and we put all of these groups of people in place, each under the lead of an experienced focal point, who then reports into what's called an incident manager. And we've been meeting daily as an incident management team, an incident response team, since the 31st of January. So
and now we're into... Sorry, just, and in your opinion, do you think we're equipped to deal with an emergency?
So you know, one of the big, the answer to that question is not simple. One of the big unknowns about this infection is the level of severity and the degree of transmissibility. It's difficult to gauge from the statistics coming out of China. What we call the denominators are. Who is getting infected? Is this and this is not just a challenge that China is having, it's a challenge that every government will have when the outbreak hits them. People come forward for testing when they have severe or, you know, mild to moderate to severe illness. And then the clinician has to be aware that testing is required, and then they will send a specimen. So what that means is that the cases that come to your healthcare system's attention are really the more severe ones. And the what is not known about this infection is how many people are actually infected. What we do know as epidemiologists who are reading the literature is that a good example is the outbreak on the ship that's quarantined in just off the coast of Japan, is that there are very, very many more people getting this infection than those who are necessarily ill enough to present to the doctor.
Yeah.
And it presents with a with symptoms of an upper respiratory tract infection. You wouldn't differentiate the way you feel from this infection to the way you would feel from the influenza or the common cold if you have a very mild presentation. So there's nothing different about this infection from the common cold. Initially, always in an outbreak, the more severe cases present, and those are the cases that get diagnosed. So the mortality rate early in an outbreak is always higher than it is towards the end of an outbreak. And so it is for these reasons that when you ask me the question, are we prepared? You know, we have annual influenza preparedness, annual influenza vaccination campaigns, and you know, we all take flu for granted as one of the seasonal things that we face in our country, as something that is inevitable, happens every year. And you know, we don't get in a tizz about flu. You know, we do pay awareness, and we get very grumpy when we get sick. And those of us who are more vulnerable, the elderly, need to take special care and to be vaccinated and seek health care early on in the infection. But we don't get in a panic about the flu. Now, what's not known is, you know, how close is this outbreak to flu in terms of its actual impact on society. What has made it such a made there to be such a hype about it is the fact that it's a new virus, and it's crossed over from animals into humans, which is the way new viruses always
They're not even actually sure which animals. I mean, it was bats, then it was pangolins. Snakes, then it was pangolins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not even quite sure. They can't quite identify which animal yet.
Yeah. So, you know, the uncertainties are things that the media tend to latch onto, and then they we get afraid as people. And so then, you know, when there is a case, then we're terrified that this is going to be the next pandemic.
100%. Dr. McCarthy, yeah. Unfortunately, we are completely and utterly out of time. We have to get you back.
Yeah, no, we do.
We have to get you back. And yeah, even if we do it on a daily basis, just to get you an update, you know, on what's happening with coronavirus. You can do the corona report.
I could talk forever.
You can do the corona report for us. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, and wish you a wonderful evening. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye. That's Dr. Kerrigan McCarthy, controlling pathologist in the Division of Public Health Surveillance Response at the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. And we have time for one more song.